How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 85 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast there, and you can leave a review once you're on that page also. Find us on audioboom.com too, and log on to normantranscript.com to check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site, and you can see all more Thunder coverage there. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday, as always. Wednesday show today, going to be previewing the game against the Rockets, which is going to be Wednesday night. Rockets 6-4, Thunder 6-5. Thunder are losers of four straight right now. Just fell in Detroit on Monday night, fell to the Magic at home on Sunday. But they got the Rockets. The Rockets are a good team, really good offense. They're kind of the opposite of the Thunder in some ways. They're a really offensive-heavy team. The defense is not as good. The Thunder should be able to take advantage of some defensive flaws there. Patrick Beverley is expected to come back. He's missed the start of the season. That's going to help their defense, but uncertain if Beverley will go into the starting lineup or whether he'll come off the bench, because those starters have had a lot of success to start the year in Houston. So he could come off the bench. He also could start. He's obviously a guy who's got a history with Russell Westbrook. He's one of the best defensive point guards in the league, and he's a guy who can defend Westbrook well. Whether he matches up with him a lot or how much he matches up with Westbrook is something that's certainly going to have an impact on the game. No question about that. He's a really great defensive point guard, one of the best there is in the NBA. The real matchup here, though, this is going to be the Russell Westbrook versus James Harden show. There's no question about that. Harden averaging 30, 13, and 8. No one in the history of the NBA has ever averaged 30 points, 12 assists, and 8 rebounds in a season. No one. Never been done. Oscar Robertson didn't do it. Will Chamberlain didn't do it. Michael Jordan didn't do it. No one's done it. James Harden's doing it right now. Pretty crazy. Westbrook, just a shabby 30, 10, and 10. The only player ever to average 30, 10, and 8 in a season is Oscar Robertson. He's the only guy. And both these guys, Russell Westbrook is right now at 9.9 assists. So if he gets up a tenth of a point, I mean, look, we're early. We see a lot of stats right now which don't hold up over an 82-game season. We're an eighth of the way into the season right now. But you know what? These are some crazy starts that we're seeing. I think that's a fair thesis. These are some nutty starts that we're seeing from Westbrook and from Harden. Just unbelievable performances from both those guys early. Harden especially as a facilitator. He's been so efficient. I think the Rockets have been moving the ball okay, considering how ball dominant of a player he is. He has been amazing. They're running everything through him. He facilitates tons of threes and gets shots for himself. He's been remarkably efficient. He's like 50% from the field. He's 38, 39% from three. Gets to the line a ton, as he always does. He's just so good at drawing contact, getting fouls. Thunder and the Rockets are kind of... Andrew Hahn, when he was on my podcast, when we did the Clipper game preview about 5 days ago, 6 days ago, whenever that was on the podcast, when I had Andrew on, we talked about it a little bit. The Thunder and the Rockets are kind of bizarro versions of each other. You know, the Thunder, offensively, they run everything through Westbrook. Everything goes through Russell Westbrook, the whole offense. He's their creator, he's their scorer, he's their facilitator, he's everything. Houston, it's similar. There are more offensive weapons around him. Once Harden gets rid of the ball, they move the ball better, and they certainly move better off the ball. They space the floor better off the ball. All those things are true. That's why Houston right now is a top 10 efficient offense, and the Thunder are a bottom 10 efficient offense. From a role standpoint, though, James Harden is controlling the ball like crazy. He's handling the ball more than any player in the league. I mean, you look at crunch time, he's shooting more than anybody. It's not even close. His crunch time usage is off the charts. And throughout the game, I mean, his assist rate is remarkably high. He's got the most touches per game in the league. He's everything. Everything is just off the charts. When his touches are lasting longer than any other players in the league, I mean, you just go through it. and the ball is starting and stopping with him. And you know what? That's fine. It's working. Mike D'Antoni is a great offensive coach, a brilliant offensive mind, and he's figured out a way how to make it work. He's never had a guy like Harden stylistically. He's never had it. He's had Kobe. He's had Carmelo. He's had Steve Nash. Great players. Different than Harden stylistically. All of them. He's never had a guy like Harden stylistically. Point guards, their numbers always jump up with D'Antoni. Like, screw the great players. Screw the Steve Nashes and the Hardens. Like, look at what Chris Duhon did with D'Antoni. Point guards look great when Mike D'Antoni is their coach. And when they already look great when they're not, when they don't have D'Antoni coaching them, man, I mean, Harden's a point guard now, so I guess they look like James Harden. I guess they look like 30, 13, and 8. Pretty crazy what Harden's been able to do. The Thunder are kind of an opposite. You know, the Rockets don't play good defense. They're not a strong defensive team. I think, look, obviously the return of Beverly will help a little bit when he comes back. But I think Ariza's not necessarily, I mean, look, Ariza's had a great career, but he's not as good as he was in his prime as a defender. He's not quite as quick. Capella's good. Capella's going to be a good player, but he's not capable of completely shouldering the load of an entire defense on his own right now. And the Thunder are the opposite. I mean, look, for all the talk of they need to get better on defense, like the players have been saying, and I'm sure they do. Because in order to be a championship-level team, you know, which right now they're not, but in order to be a championship-level team, if that's what the goal is, then they need to get the defense better because the offense is not going to be as good. So they need to jump up on the defensive end. They need to be absolutely elite on the defensive end if they want to have any chance at, you know, maybe winning a first-round series or something like that. They have to be in a top-five defensive team. Right now, they're playing like a top-10 defensive team. And schematically, there are things that they can fix. Fundamentally, there are things that they can fix. They let up a lot of back cuts the other day. Their communication has been kind of off sometimes. They get hung up on screens and they kind of go in the wrong directions on screens, which is part of that communication issue. There are a lot of things that they can fix defensively. But the Thunder still, I mean, this is a defense team over an offensive team. It's not even close. So it's interesting to juxtapose those two teams. Rockets, arguably the best three-point shooting team in the NBA right now. Don't have the best percentage. That belongs to the Timberwolves, I think. But Timberwolves are taking like 14 or 15 fewer three-point attempts per game. Rockets right now, most makes per game in the league, most attempts per game in the league. A lot of that's on Harden, a lot of that's on the team's philosophy. Obviously, it's a super analytically inclined organization. It's always been an organization, really, under Daryl Morey, where they don't want mid-range shots. They want to play as extremely as possible with getting shots at the rim and getting shots from behind the three-point line. That's something that they execute really well with James Harden running the offense. Harden's great at that, just getting guys spot-up threes. He's fantastic at it. He's as good as anyone in the league at hitting the lane and kicking out for catch-and-shoot three-point opportunities. Because they're not just chucking off the dribble. Like, this team is taking 24. Okay, so I mentioned the Timberwolves. Timberwolves first in the league in three-point percentage right now. They're taking 22 three-point attempts a game. All right? That's attempts. The Rockets are taking 24 just catch-and-shoot three-point attempts a game. Catch-and-shoot three-point attempt, you have your feet set. You don't have to put the ball down. You don't have to put your head down. It's so much easier on catch and shoot than it is off the dribble. And the Rockets are taking 24 of those attempts a game. That's a lot. They're doing a great job at that. It's something the Thunder don't really have, that threat of catch and shoot. And they have guys who can shoot the three, too. I mean, it's not just Harden. Ryan Anderson is a great three-point shooter at the four. Eric Gordon's been shooting the heck out of the ball to start this season. Trevor Ariza can still shoot. I mean, these are guys who are legitimate threats from beyond the arc. They have a lot of guys who can shoot the three. And then there's obviously Harden. Harden's going to take some more off the dribble than the rest of the team. But I mean, you know, he's James Harden. He's going to drain threes. That's one of the things that he does remarkably well. It's part of what makes him so efficient. That and getting to the line. Thunder have gotten off to some slow starts lately. It's going to be a problem if they get off to one against Houston. That'll be an issue because Houston can slice you up offensively. All right. They're really one of the best offenses in the entire league. They're dangerous. And you can run with them. You can score on them. Thunder can figure out ways to score on them. I think this will probably be a high-scoring game. The Thunder offense isn't so down in that it's incapable of going off. Like, we've seen some strong offensive games from them. You know, we saw it against the Clippers. especially when teams aren't going to guard their three-point shooters. Like, some games, some guys are just going to be hot, no matter what the three-point who the three-point shooters are. Like, some games, Sabonis will be hot, and Oladipo will be hot, and shots are going to go in. When guys aren't guarding on the perimeter, like, these are NBA players. It's not going to happen all the time, and it doesn't make the strategy unviable. But sometimes, some games, defenses are going to get unlucky. The Thunder are capable of going off offensively, especially when Russell Westbrook plays really well. They played well against the Clippers. They played a great offensive final three quarters against Orlando. The issue in that game was the defense. The issue in that game was the really slow start. Again, they can't really get off to a slow start. They got killed by Detroit early in that game. I thought that was excusable. Some people disagreed with me. I thought that was an excusable game because it's the second night of a road back-to-back. And it's Detroit, where the airport is so far from the arena. You're getting in late. That's a rough back place to go for a back-to-back. I get it. I get how you could lack energy. The Magic game, to me, was a lot more inexcusable than the Pistons loss. The Magic game, they were down 21 points midway through the second quarter. Not even midway through, 4 minutes into the second quarter, against the Magic team that was scoring on them like crazy, hasn't been able to score on anybody all year. And that was the issue. Magic scored 119 points against them. They scored 69 the next night. Yeah, Magic were on a back-to-back too. But the Magic have not been able to score against anybody this year. That was a worse loss to me, no question. And it's on the first night of a back-to-back. It's a home game. That was worse. But the Thunder need to be able to go out well against Harden. Now, even if they don't, I hate it when people say, you have to win this game in November. You don't have to win any individual game. The NBA is a long season. I think sometimes we forget how long an 82-game season is. So much happens. So much goes down. You forget about some of the bad losses. Like the Magic loss, you usually forget about that stuff. And Houston's a good team. This is going to be a playoff team. This could be a top four team in the West. It's possible. They're in the running for the four seed. Because they're one of those regular season teams that could be like really, really good in the 82-game season. Because they're so good offensively, they can just run bad teams over. And there are some teams that just won't be able to stop them. And the offense can take them to 50 wins. Doesn't mean that they're a conference finalist or anything like that. But they are the type of team that I could see like winning 52 games or something like that. The offense is that good. But the Thunder have a nice little slate after this. They have a nice little cushion. Even if they fall on Wednesday night, they have a nice little cushion. They have the Nets on Friday. Turned on the Nets game the other night and they were down 35-7 to the Clippers. It was the only game on. I was like, okay, I guess I'll turn Nets Clippers. It was 35-7. I was just like, oh my goodness. I had to turn it off. My eyes couldn't take it anymore. But they have the Nets. They got the Pacers at home on Sunday. Pacers have their problems. Lakers on Tuesday. They've already beaten the Lakers. The Kings. Kings are the Kings. Denver, talented but young, not a playoff team yet. These are all possible wins. These are all possible wins. So the Thunder, they have ways to recover as they move forward. That's something that we've talked about a lot. Just that the November schedule is nice to them. It's going to look nice for them. So, four-game losing streak, but I honestly don't think it's as big of a deal as people are saying. They won 6 out of 7, they lost 4 in a row, and now they're 6-5. That's probably where they're supposed to be. One Twitter question before we go, because I thought this was a good question that somebody asked me. How big a problem is it that Oladipo assist totals are down by half this year? Should we expect that to improve sometime soon? I think it's possible it goes up a little bit as he gets more comfortable in Oklahoma City within the offense and all that. But I'm going to read these stats to you, and I'm going to show you why, at least in an attempt to show why it's not necessarily flukish that his assist totals are down. And before I read these stats to you, I want you to remember, assists are as much of an indicator as to how often you're holding the ball as they are an indicator to how often you're passing the ball. Victor Oladipo, last year in Orlando, he averaged 51 front court touches per game. 51 touches in the front court per game for Victor Oladipo in Orlando last year. 51. This year, 39. 40 passes per game. Last year in Orlando, he passed the ball 40 times per game in Orlando last year. This year, 30. His average touch last year lasted 3.5 seconds. His average touch this year is lasting 2.8 seconds, down 7/10 of a second. He averaged 3.1 dribbles per every time he touched the ball last year. He's averaging 2.2 this year. All those numbers, total touches in the front court, total passes in a game that he makes. how long his touches are lasting, how many dribbles he's taking with his touches. Everything indicating him having the ball, it's all down at least 20%. All of them. Some of them more. So when those numbers go way down, and we know why those are going down, when those numbers go way down, the assists are going to go down too. That's just the way it's going to work. So I don't think the assists are coming back up. I just don't. Now, they could come back up a little bit, but if you're talking about assists specifically, talking about that stat, then unless he just tremendously, you know, becomes a significantly more, you know, effective passer into baskets. Like if his passes can all of a sudden start leading guys, or the defender start using him differently. Those are the only two ways that those assists are going to climb back up. Because it's not just that the assists are down drastically. It's that the role is down drastically and the assists come down with the role. And I don't know if the role is going to come all the way back up. And that's kind of what, you know, people talk about when we talk about Victor Oladipo integrating into the Thunder offense, assuming a new role. This is the new role. He's handling the ball significantly less. Now, Russell Westbrook should be handling the ball a lot. But Victor Oladipo is handling the ball significantly less. He's touching the ball significantly less. He's dribbling the ball significantly less. He's passing the ball significantly less. He's just naturally going to be less of a facilitator. It's not possible not to be. Remember, I'm on every weekday, Monday through Friday. You can head on to iTunes to subscribe to Locked On Thunder. If you have any questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com, and you can find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FredKatz. You can log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs and check out Thunder Road to follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. That's going to do it for today. Back with you tomorrow for a wrap-up of the Rockets game and more Thunder and NBA talk. Until next time, though, Locked On Thunder is locking up.